Lots of hats today and doing a good job as our summer intern. Well, let's look at God's Word together. And we're looking at the book of Ephesians today. And we're going to read verses 11 through 14 of chapter 1. It's going to kind of launch us into today's message. And we will be highlighting other parts of this book. And we'll draw the whole connection here in the message, but you'll see how all this relates. Let's look at God's Word and just hear it. Ephesians 1, verse 11, let's begin there. It says, "In Him, that is Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him also, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory." We typically think about our plans for our child or our child's plan for their own life when they grow up. Today we're going to think and consider the life plans God has for children who know the Lord, and how that shapes the way parents parent and the church and parents train and pray for and launch kids into adulthood. It's not just their plan or your plan. It is helping them to know and follow God's plan. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, the verse we looked at last week. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." As we read that verse, we may think, okay, that's about kids listening to their parents, obeying their parents, and that's it. And like, no, it's not, because the "in the Lord" reminds us this is in the context of those kids knowing and following the Lord. So this is not the only verse in the book of Ephesians written for kids. The whole book of Ephesians was written for kids as they know and follow the Lord. Get my point? Into adulthood as they know and follow the Lord, in partnership with parents and the church who are helping to train them in knowing and follow the Lord. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, another verse we looked at last week. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And as we read that, we think, okay, well, that's about parents, fathers, and how they train. And yet, it's not the only verse in Ephesians about training, because the "in the Lord" part reminds us that the whole book applies to parents training kids in partnership with church community for lifelong knowing and following Jesus. So those kind of thoughts are what launched me into today's message. We're looking at God's plan, God's purposes for kids, for the way parents train kids in knowing and following God's plan and God's purposes, and actually for the church community as we stand beside parents in this training kid, and actually every last one of us in living our own life. And what Ephesians says about the life plan of every believer. God's got a lot to say about this. And sadly, a lot of times, as parents and as kids, we've sort of put God on the side and said, well, I'll plan my life, or I've got a plan for your life, kid, or let me train you in your life, and then, oh, by the way, I hope you believe in God and follow Him. When biblically speaking, we put God at the center, and everything flows out of knowing and following God and His purposes for us. And that's what we're trying to train our kids in. That's what we're trying to model for our kids. That's what we're about as a community of believers, as we want to stand alongside parents who are training kids in launching them toward this vision of lifelong following the Lord. Let them come. This is the last of our messages in training kids to follow Jesus in the secular world. And today we're going to consider how we do that in a way that connects them to God's life plan for kids who are in the Lord Jesus. Let me do just a quick review of where we've been. If you want to go back and listen to these messages, you can. We talked about the parent-church partnership from Mark 10. We talked about parenting is centered in the Lord from Deuteronomy 6. We talked about Scripture is vital in this training process in all of our lives as believers. The third week, we talked about the urgency of training during this period of childhood. Those moments last only so long, and the lessons imparted are so impactful. We talked about relationships and its power and influence in this process. We talked about salvation assurance. And then last week, we talked about fathers and the issue of anger, which oftentimes gets in the way of good training. And that's a quick summary of where we've been. But today, let me show you where we're going as we talk about God's life plans for kids who are in the Lord Jesus. And that what I'm saying by that is this is as they know and follow Jesus Christ. This is for everybody who knows and follows Jesus Christ. What are God's plans for us? What are God's plans for them? One is to be for the praise of God. To live and do everything you do and all that you do for the praise of God. This is your purpose if you are indeed in Christ Jesus. That's their purpose if they come to know and believe in Christ Jesus. A second is to walk in the good works God has prepared. This is kind of looking big picture at the book of Ephesians. One purpose for all believers is to know and be for the praise of God. A second is to walk in the good works God has prepared for us. It's really exciting to think about. God has specific good works prepared for every believer that they are to walk in. And the third is to connect in a gospel-advancing church. We'll talk more about this. So much of the book of Ephesians is about the church. God brings Jew and Gentile, people of diverse racial and ethnic backgrounds, together in one body. This amazing body, the church, is God's way of putting the gospel on display for all to see. And sadly, many people think of the church as sort of this passe thing. It's kind of like, yeah, whatever, I guess I'll go there once in a while if I kind of believe. It's like, no, we are to be, this is God's plan for us to be connected lifelong in a gospel-advancing church. This is for every single believer. And we'll talk more about that. How do we train kids toward that? And how do we model that? And a fourth is to walk to please the Lord by His Spirit. Every aspect of life, you're saying, how can I please the Lord? How can I please the Lord? How can I please the Lord? And empowered by the Spirit, we're seeking to please and honor the Lord. So let's take a look here. This is kind of looking at the whole book framed around the issue of the purpose God has for the life of a child or any believer. And sort of blowing up how Ephesians 6:1 and Ephesians 6:4 sort of are informing how we do train kids around this issue of what are the plans for your life? Think about this. We're trying to help our kids to discover and develop their interests, right? We're trying to help them figure out the education they will pursue. We're trying to guide them in a career path, some way to productively provide for themselves and their family. We're trying to give them coaching, and we're certainly praying for their marriage in the future, the man God has for them if they're a woman, or the woman God has for them if they're a man, and if how they choose that, how do they discern that, and we want God to bless that. But what's even bigger than all those things that are big is the gospel. Knowing and following the Lord. And if they embrace that and live in that, God's plans, that's going to shape everything else. How it is that they do those things and the way that they do those things and the purpose they have for their life in the doing of those things. If they don't embrace that, they're going to be building those big decisions around a false value system and not aligning those with the purposes God has. So these are more core than even those big things that we've listed. And so parenting, wise parenting, seeks to train and guide in that. Disciple toward that. A church community, this is what we're looking at. Even more than helping kids understand those things, it's understand God's plan for them and embrace God's plan for their life, throughout their life. And all of these flow from the gospel. If we think about the book of Ephesians, big picture, Ephesians says, chapter 2, verse 1, apart from God's grace and regeneration, each person is spiritually dead. So it's not like they just need a little reforming, a little bit of help, a little bit of education, they're basically good, and we'll just kind of help shave off the edges. No, each person, apart from God's grace and regeneration in the gospel, is spiritually dead. So if you notice when a stream is running, a river is running, if there's a dead fish, it always goes downstream. You've never, ever seen a dead fish going upstream, right? It just doesn't happen. And when kids or adults go with the flow of the culture, whether that's traditional culture or contemporary, like just going the way it goes because that's the way it goes, all they're showing is they're dead. When a fish is swimming upstream against the flow of the culture, that shows its spiritual life. Now, how do we get spiritual life? Well, when kids and adults don't know Jesus, they just live like Satan wants. They follow the desires. A lot of talk out there about desires today. You go with your desires. You're just going with the flow. The desires feed the flow. That's what Satan wants. And you're going to dishonor God, and that's just natural for you. It seems right to you to dishonor God because that's a natural thing to do. So the answer is the gospel. When God, by his grace, gets a hold of your life, he makes you alive when you receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is at the core of good parenting. To understand this, to communicate this, to pray for this. This is at the core of a gospel ministry as we come alongside parents in the training of their children. This is what we need to challenge those who are emerging young adults. Say, hey, do you believe the gospel or not? Because this is it. And that's going to shape everything, and everything flows out of it. Let's look at a couple quick verses at Ephesians chapter 2 just to substantiate this. What a great statement. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4, But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That's how you can swim upstream. You've been saved, delivered by God's grace. No longer dead, but made alive. And Ephesians then was written to this gospel-believing community. Those who believed in Jesus, who'd embrace this gospel, for by grace you have been saved through faith that is not of your own doing, is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And of course, then we hear this as believers, as a believing community, where we speak to our children, and if they have come indeed to true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they hear it and say, oh, that's me. We're not saved by works, by human effort, by what we do, moral reformation, trying to clean up the outside. We're saved by a personal response of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that resulting in, we have been saved. It's a past event with continuing results. Twice in these verses, by grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. Both verse 5 and verse 8. Reinforcing, that's the only way anyone is ever saved. But what a marvelous gift when one is saved. And so now, what are God's life plans then for a kid or an adult or emerging young adult who is in the Lord Jesus? The first is to be for the praise of God. To live for the praise of God. To do all you have, all you do for the praise of God. And of course, that means a person purposing the worship of God in their life privately. That means a person purposing to be a part of the community that worships God corporately, the church. But it means so much more. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 begins with praising God for his eternal purpose in choosing and redeeming believers in Christ. It's actually one of the longest sentences ever written in the Greek. It actually goes from verse 3 to verse 14 in one sentence. Thank goodness the English translation have tried to break it up a few times, but Paul is just going on and on and on and on about all these amazing blessings in Christ that we have received through the gospel and giving God praise because of it. And that is the purpose of your life. Being for God's praise is his purpose for your life. Teach that to your children who are in Christ. Embrace that as you know and follow Christ. Every sports fan understands praise. You say, well, you know, they don't look like that. No, they understand praise. When your team wins, you say, yay. You praise your team. When the guy scores the winning goal, you don't say boo. If you love that team, you say yay. Yay, amazing, cheer, cheer, yay, yay, all that stuff, right? Worship is like that. Worship is saying, yay, God, you're amazing God. And when you devalue worship, I'm bored with worship, I don't prioritize worship, what you're really saying is boo God. You're saying he's not that hot, he's not that great, no big deal. Of course, that dishonors God. And that isn't living in alignment with your purpose if you're a redeemed follower of Jesus. Let's look at verses 11 and 12, just as an example of this praise purpose in the book of Ephesians. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Don't get all upset by that. That's just saying God's got a plan from eternity past to make you into a praiser. So that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. Yes, it's purpose for your life, but even deeper than that, it's the very identity of your life's purpose. You are here to praise God. Might be to the praise of his glory. Look also at verse 6, verse 14, and back to chapter 1, verse 3. All of this points to that's why a believer is here. That's if that child is indeed in Christ as they live their life, that is why they are here. They embrace then that everything I do, not just certain actions sometimes, maybe on Sundays, but everything I do is to be to the praise of God. Another scripture says this really well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. And it contrasts the typical way we live. How do we live? We live for ourselves. That's human sinful nature. I want to please me. Make my life easier for me. It's all about me. And yet, 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, Jesus died so that those who live, that is believers, made alive by God's grace, might no longer live for themselves. What would I live for if I didn't live for myself? For him. For the praise of him. For the honor and glory of his name, who for their sake died and was raised. So this is God's life plan for kids and all who are in Christ Jesus, to be and live and do all for the praise of God. Second is to walk in the good works God has prepared. Ephesians 2 says that God has prepared good works for each grace-saved believer to walk in. They're out there. They're prepared by God. He's got them there. It's planned. You need to just walk in them. And this includes kids. This includes and shapes how we train kids, how we launch kids, how we think them about their life. So a lot of times we're like, oh, I can't do much, don't have much. And the world tends to press this on us. And if we come up against some kind of struggle or issue, that then even more so, like, oh, I got nothing. It's like, that's a lie. God, every redeemed person, God has these wonderful, good works prepared beforehand for you to walk in. And to impact others for the glory of his name and the advance of the gospel. Each child, each adult believer is God's poiema. That's the Greek word. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. The Greek word poiema, doesn't that sound a little bit like poem? Because it is a little bit like poem. You create that poem. That's like an amazing work. It's your poem. If you write it to someone you love, whatever, it's like, oh, that's expressive. It's creative. It's God is a great poetry writer. And the poem is you, believer in Jesus Christ. The idea of that, it could also be God's work of art, God's masterpiece. And this is not self-focus. This is not like, oh, that's amazing, I'm put that on a wall, look at me. This is God-glorifying focus. I don't leave it in the drawer. I don't put it on the wall and say, look at me. I'm about doing the things God wants me to do for the glory of God and the advancing of God's work and the good of others, that they might know and follow him. So that masterpiece, that poem that you are, that your child is, if they are indeed Christ in Christ, it's a masterpiece. It's a poem about doing good works. We're not saved by good works, but the saved live in good works because salvation results in walking in the good works God has prepared for us to do. Let's look then at connecting in a gospel-advancing church. Be and live for the praise of God. Walk in the good works God has prepared beforehand for you to do. Connecting in a gospel-advancing church. Ephesians says over and over again that what God does and displays in and through the church is one reason each believer is here on earth. You're here in part to be a part of that community of believers which is advancing and displaying the work of God. And this is one way we fulfill God's purpose for us. So whatever we're thinking about, hey, life and what we're going to do and plans, career, and whatever, it's like, okay, yes, for the praise of God. Yes, for those good works God has prepared before him that you should walk in them. And yes, connecting in a gospel-advancing church. This is so embedded in the book of Ephesians, you pretty much could just like open up any verse you point to and somehow connects to this. But I'm going to give you just a handful of verses that just show this collection of scriptures pointing to that the community of believers, the church, is God's intention for each and every believer to be a part of. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Who's being built? That's individual believers. Where and how are they being built? They're being built into this dwelling place in the context of, look at it there, of the community of believers, the church, where gospel transformation is happening in our lives and in our relationships for the glory of God. Ephesians 3:10. Paul's talking about the grand cosmic plan of God, and he says, so that through the church, as the gospel is revealed and received and lived out in community, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. God's plan is that the church displays his wonderful wisdom, his powerful grace. This is not a church living sort of in a dumbed-down Christianity, or a church living in distracted Christianity, or a church divided Christianity. This is a church that's about the gospel, putting that on display, live for the glory of God. That's God's plan. That's where God wants you to be. That's one part of what it means to live according to God's plan. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. And 12, which makes clear that this grand plan isn't just out there in the cosmic realm, it's a reality that's in the lives of individual believers. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we, that's individual folks like you and me, have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Let's look at Ephesians 4:13. Another scripture relating to the church. What's going on in this church community? The way God wants us to be connecting in it. Well, there's some wonderful things happening. It says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Now, here's a reference to children again. But we actually grow up in connection with the church community, with the right kind of biblical leaders and the sound biblical doctrine. We're not these unstable, going this way and that. Folks, we're stable and growing in the Lord and right on track and seeing through the deceptive snares of the devil. And then Ephesians 4:15 talks a bit about the way this happens in a church community. Rather, speaking the truth, it's about the truth. We embrace the truth and grow in the truth. In love, it's about love. We embrace God's love, and we grow in expressing that love. We are to grow up in every way into him who is ahead, that is, into Christ. It's all about Jesus, from him and for him. I recently read an article about the state of the church these days. I thought it made a very helpful point, and I caution us regarding this. Let not the church become a community of common loathing. What do I mean by that? A place where we gather together and we all dislike the same things. We dislike the cultural decline. We dislike the media. We dislike the government overreach. We dislike hypocritical Christians. We all get together and we dislike the same things. Let not the church become that. That will not sustain us. That is not God's vision or plan. Let the church be a community of common love. Let us be in love with God, growing in love for one another, heartfelt love for the lost and broken of our world. Let us be a community of common love. That's what God intends for us to be. And we connect then in that kind of community for the purposes and glory of God and aligning ourselves with his word and proclaiming his gospel. That's God's plan for every single one of us, and that's God's plan for kids in the Lord, and that's what parents train, pray for, and try to launch. That's what the church community stands behind as we minister to kids and disciple them toward this which God has for them. This is what God has for all of us, to be a part of that community of common love. And then fourth, to walk to please the Lord. We mentioned walking in good works. This walking to please the Lord by the Spirit is emphasized again and again in the book of Ephesians. It stresses walking in the new way of life God has for us to please God. Today, we're going to do some walking over there. And I would encourage you, if the weather is dissuading you from doing all the laps, which I understand for some, at least do one, because the experience is at least one lap. Just hanging out over there and having fellowship would be great, but the experience, the education, the vision, there's some great surprises along the way. You're going to be impressed as you go through the walk. If you at least do one lap over there, and if you can't even carry the bucket, just please do a lap and do a walk. But imagine somebody over in the walk who had a different agenda than walking the walk they were supposed to walk, and they were trying to tip over people's water, trip people along the way, kind of harass them or whatever. We'd say, well, that's not the idea we had with the walk. Well, everybody is walking in life. Everybody walks. Walk is your lifestyle, the way you conduct your life. And what Ephesians is saying is, hey, non-believers walk a certain way. The unredeemed walk a certain way. The people that aren't trying to please Jesus, they know quite well how to walk that way. But what the gospel is about is training us to walk to please Jesus, the way he wants us to conduct our lives in that manner. And this is reinforced again and again, this new kind of walking. The walking the right way, not the wrong way. The walking to please the Lord, not walking to trip up everybody and following the Lord or dishonoring the Lord or boo God kind of walking. Ephesians 5 verse 15 is the culmination of seven walking passages in the book of Ephesians. Seven of them that have that Greek word peripateo, which is conduct one's life in a manner. And Ephesians 5:15 says that to believers, look carefully then, this is a culminating verse on walking, then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. The Greek word for walk is used in chapter 2, verse 2, 2:10, 4:1, 4:17, 5:2, and 5:8. I'm going to give you a quick summary. 2:2 is about the way you previously walked, following the ways of the devil and the desires of the flesh. That's where everybody walks, apart from Jesus. 2:10 is that one we've already looked at, to walk in the good works God's prepared for you now that you've been saved by God's grace. 4 verse 1 says, there's a charge for believer as redeemed people to walk in the character and the life patterns that are worthy of the gospel calling you've received. And that's that hinge verse in the book of Ephesians. 1 through 3 is the doctrine of the grace of God, bringing people together in one body, the church. 4 through 6 is the way we live out, walking in that new kind of life. Chapter 4, verse 17 is that we are to no longer walk like the unredeemed walk. We've already referenced that in 2 verse 8, but now as Paul's giving these exhortations to believers, he's like, hey, remember that. You're not to walk like they walk, because they're just following the futilities of their mind. It's not a redeemed mind. They're just going with the flow. They're going the flow, and there's the way of the dead fish, but you're not them, so you walk a different way. Chapter 5, verse 2 is a wonderful verse. We are called as believers to walk in the love that is like the love Christ had for us when he died on the cross. That's the pattern of our lives, like Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross. And then in chapter 5, verse 8, we're commanded to walk as children of light, because we are children of light if we've received Jesus, who is the light. And then it says in chapter 5, verse 10, it tells us, kind of clarifies, well, how do I do that? How do I walk as children of light? This is, I think, really key. It says, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. In every situation, try to discern. Of course, well, the Bible helps us, prayer helps us, a godly Christian counsel helps us, but try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Our goal then in every situation as a believer walking this new way of walking is to please the Lord and have the discernment to know what it is that pleases the Lord. And that, of course, is the way of walking in wisdom. Not as unwise, but as wise. The way you or your kids or any believer will walk in this wisdom, this way of pleasing the Lord, is by being constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. I want more of you, more of you, more of you, more of you. You can never get too much of the Holy Spirit. You get unbiblical kind of Holy Spirit stuff, but the real deal, never can get too much. You just want more, more, more. Every day I want more of the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 5:18 in the Greek literally is be being filled all the time with the Holy Spirit. So anytime you have a conscious thought, it is appropriate to say, Spirit, fill me more once again. And that's the way with that kind of an attitude, as we look to God's word, as we praise him, as we live in community, the work of the Holy Spirit then drives us in this walk of pleasing the Lord. That's God's intention for every one of us believers. That's what you're trying to pray for and launch your kids into if they know Jesus. That's the life plan. Whatever the specifics are, where you go to school, where you get a job, yada, yada, yada. This, we know, is God's clear revelation for every single believer. Walk by the power of the Spirit to please the Lord. So how do we respond to this? The primary response step is the gospel itself. If you've yet to receive the gospel, if you said, nah, I don't know about that Jesus stuff, and he died on the cross for me, and I'm a sinner in need of rescue, I'm a dead fish going downstream, I plead with you today, consider this amazing gift God offers you. By grace, you're saved through faith if you receive that which Jesus provided in full by his finished work on the cross. Ephesians is written to believers in the gospel, and I call you today to receive him by faith if you've yet to do that. Ephesians 2, verse 13 is one of those wonderful verses in the book of Ephesians that focuses on what Jesus did on the cross. And it's written to believers, but it's against the backdrop of that anybody who receives him by faith receives what he accomplished by his death. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It's through his finished work on the cross. This response of turning and trusting and embracing what his death provides. His death that deals with the wrath of God toward my sin. Sin is a big deal. But what Jesus offers is an even bigger deal. And I invite you to embrace that today. You know, there's so much of I can't out there. We can't out there. People feeling trapped and unable to do what God wants them to do. I remind you of Romans chapter 1, verse 16, which says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God to salvation. for everyone who believes. Kids, adults, fathers, mothers, you, anyone, can only experience God and His saving power by a personal response of faith that received Jesus. But wow, they can receive God's saving power by a personal response of faith in Jesus and that good news. The gospel is the power of God. We want our kids to know that, embrace that. That forms the basis of everything else in this life plan God has for kids in the Lord. B, for the praise of God's glory, walk in the good works He has prepared in advance. Connect in gospel advancing church. Walk to please the Lord by His Spirit in all that we do. Let's pray for kids in that. That's a second response. Whatever their age, little, growing up, emerging into young adulthood, out there as young adults, maybe even further along the way, whatever their age, pray for them and this response, that they might know and walk in the plans God has for them, that they may know and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of anybody that you think of in need. Turn that into a prayer. Pray for kids and others, whatever their age. This focus on prayer could have been another Ephesians message. Ephesians is a wonderful book of prayers. There are at least three, maybe four kind of extended prayers in Ephesians, guidelines for how we can pray. And I encourage you to look at, say, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. We could look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, Ephesians 3, verse 20, Ephesians 6, verse 16 and following. But there's kind of a model prayer there. So what do I pray for them? Well, here's what we pray. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's a good way to pray. They might really have God-centered wisdom that comes from knowing and following God. Pray. And a third response, I just want us to put beside ourselves, our hearts, God's plan and our plan. God's plan and your plan. And plead with you to say, you know, God's plan is more important. My heart wants the God plan. And whatever the my plan or my plans for my kids are, that's secondary. If I align my heart, my desires, the training with God's plan, everything's going to work out good. You know, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3 has this wonderful kind of reminder of God's promise of blessing, that it may go well with you. This is to children why they should obey their parents, because it's right and it's the Lord's command and all that in the Lord, and that you may live long in the land. The pathway of blessing is following the Lord. But not saying, well, forget your plans, God, I'm going with my own. Well, it's clearly not the pathway of blessing. For you, for your child, for their future, choose, desire, pray for following the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a wonderful scripture. Many of us have memorized it. It's a great reminder. In all the unknowns of this world and all the things that provoke anxiety and concern, trust in God. Trust in God wholeheartedly. Don't lean on your own understanding, your ability to figure out. Trust in God, follow His ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. He'll make those crooked roads turn into straight ones. Those paths that are going to trip you up turn into smooth ones. He will direct your steps as you seek Him with all your heart. And that's what we want to train our kids toward. Seeking, following, walking in that trust in the Lord. Let's pray. God, we so need You. And this closing verse just reminds us, Lord, that You are sovereign. You have a plan. Our biggest problem so often is that we want to depend on us and our plan and figuring it out rather than trusting in You and aligning our hearts with You. So Lord, let it begin with us. Let it begin in this community of believers. Let it begin with each believer hearing these words, Lord. we would trust in you and follow you, align ourselves, Lord, with your plans for us, and walk in those by the power of your Spirit. Lord, we do pray for children, and we pray for teenagers, and we pray for young adults. Many are here, and many that we love, Lord, and we just pray that you would have their hearts, that they would embrace your gospel, that they would follow in the plans you have for them, and choose, Lord, that that pathway of following you is a pathway of blessing. We look to you. We trust in you. We pray for this by the working of your Spirit. Thank you, God, that you are able to do mighty things by the power of the gospel. We praise you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.